Acts chapter 20, kind of two sections of scripture we're starting with this morning as we kind of read Paul and kind of in the middle of his race, and then we'll be looking toward the end. It says in Acts 20, verses 22 through 24, it says, "Now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem," Paul says, "not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And then Timothy says these words, some of his last words that he ever said before he was killed. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing." Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning. Father, as we come into this house, we come with purpose this morning. We come to worship God in spirit and truth. We come, Lord God, that you might teach us, that you might speak into our lives today. May the Spirit of Christ just fall upon this place. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our eyes, that we might see heavenly things today, and touch our ears, that we might hear truth from heaven. So, God, we ask, God, that you would bless the person behind the pulpit this morning, that you would empower this person to speak clearly and without error, and that this would be done for the glory of Jesus and Jesus alone, because we think Jesus is amazing. So, Lord, you who walk on water and raise the dead and heal the lame and the sick, would you please walk amongst us today, O Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God? You've never left us. You'll never forsaken us. You are with us today. So be our teacher. Mold us and make us and shape us. We pray this now for your glory. We pray this in your name. And all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And good morning. It's good to be with you. Welcome to Woodbridge this morning. So glad you're here today. We have a pretty fun day planned today. Obviously, afterwards, we've got a picnic. So we're just get a chance to hang loose. Okay, here's the deal. So when you marry somebody, you want to make sure that you have a lot of things in common with these people. Do I hear an amen? So there's many things. So Sin and I love the Olympics. We've always loved the Olympics. We always look forward to the Olympics. For me, I'm a hick from Big Bear. Hi, my name's Frank. I was born in a very small town up in Big Bear many years ago. And as I was growing up there, they took us to the slopes every winter day, and we went PE skiing. I learned how to ski when I was 5 years old, and I skied my whole life that I lived in Big Bear. It was a part of the academic curriculum that all the students was sent to it was called Bear Mountain, well, Gold Mine, Bear Mountain, and we'd ski, and our parents wouldn't pick us up at school. My mom picked me up at the ski slopes every winter. Skiing, downhill racing was awesome. Slalom racing, awesome. Franz Klammer was Olympic, I think he was the gold medalist back in 70-something. I'm old. I love the Olympics. Sin and I love the, I like winter more than summer, you know? But I love the Summer Olympics. I love the track racing. We love the women's gymnastics in particular and the guys. It's incredible. And so Sin and I have been looking forward to this. So, and here we are in the midst of the Olympics, right? So, Pastor Frank, did you see the opening ceremonies? Yes, I did. Have no idea what drag queens mocking the Last Supper of Jesus has anything to do with the Olympics. I have no idea. I don't know what that was. I know some of you are boycotting the Olympics because of it. Hey guys, you know what, man? These have been really weird days. Since COVID, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone, don't you? Since COVID, all that hitting with COVID, it still seems like, was that real? And then obviously the tragedy with George Floyd and the civil unrest and all the terrible division in the elections. And then you've got wars in Europe. The last 4 years have been insane. Wars in the Middle East. Presidents being shot at. But I gotta tell you, I didn't think turning on, I thought the Olympics, here it comes, yay. And then I'm like, what? It's like nothing seems to shock me anymore. I have no idea what that was. Was that intentional or are they just clueless? Do they really want to just tick off 2.4 million, a billion Christians in the world today? I don't know, man. I'll tell you this. So it just feels like in the last 4 years, it feels like God is just slowly removing his hand of protection upon the earth, and evil is being allowed to just reign unopposed. These are crazy days. Crazy days. Hey man, these poor Olympic athletes have worked so hard. You know, Simone Biles is amazing. We just love watching her. Have you guys watched Women's Olympics? You know, she's made such amazing comeback. Here she has worked her whole life. She's an athlete who's completely dedicated her life to her sport. And we're supporting her. And so we're watching and we're rooting. Our personal protest, I'm not watching the closing. I give up. So you guys got to do what you want to do. But for me, we want to support our athletes and support our country. And I don't know. I don't know, man. You do what you got to do. But just put on your seatbelt because these are crazy days. But we love the Olympics. Do you guys like the Olympics? So you know what? Apparently, 2,000 years ago, one of the disciples of Jesus loved the Olympics. His name was the Apostle Paul. And we've been studying his life. Paul is an amazing man. Paul has an incredible story. All of us has a pretty amazing story. Paul was what many would call a religious terrorist. At one point in his life, he was killing people in the name of God, just like people are doing today. Paul thought he was serving God by killing Christians, and he wanted to stomp out Christianity, and he was willing to use terror to do it. And we've been walking through his story, man. One day Jesus just lays him out. And this guy who was one of the greatest persecutors becomes the greatest advocate for Jesus. And his whole life flips. And he goes from killing people to saying the most beautiful things written in Scripture. Speaking about love. To love your enemies. Telling you, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. Paul writes the most beautiful teachings on love and grace. His life was radically transformed. He says, you overcome evil with good, right? Paul is an amazing man who went on a radical journey to meet, know, and follow Jesus with his life. And he, when you read his writings, he's the greatest, probably the greatest Christian that's ever lived, okay? He wrote half the books of the New Testament. His life was, he was the greatest missionary in the first century. An amazing man whose life was radically changed. Do you believe that Jesus can change a human life? Yes. Look around. Jesus has the ability to change lives. When we give our life to Christ, he changes us. And I can point to the Apostle Paul. Paul is just one of those people. He's amazing. So here's the deal. As Paul is writing the New Testament, he took a metaphor. He calls our Christian life like a race. So many times, just look up how many times Paul uses the Christian life that you're living and I'm living. And he uses the metaphor of an Olympic Games to the Christian faith. And one of them is a track meet, running a race. And so many times in Paul's writings, he says, man, the life that you're living, the life that I'm living, it's like a Christian Olympic race. And so check this out. Here's an example. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. He says, and he's talking about his life. He says, not that I've already obtained all this, nor have I already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining. He's running. He's straining. He's running, right? I'm straining toward what's ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenly. Paul's just saying, man, I'm running this race. I'm straining. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize, right? Track competition, Olympics. See, back, so Paul was a Hellenistic Jew. That means that Paul wasn't raised in Israel per se. He was raised actually in Tarsus. He was radically influenced by Greek culture. He understood the Greek or Greco-Roman culture, Hellenistic culture. And guess where the Olympics comes from? Greece. Paul was totally acquainted and understood the Olympics. The Olympics was really popular back then too, 2,000 years ago. Paul totally understands the Olympics. He understands the competitions. And as he begins writing to you and writing to me about Jesus and the faith that we have, he starts infusing the metaphor of Olympic running into our Christian race. Pretty cool, right? Everybody say that's cool. That's kind of cool, right? You guys like that? It's pretty cool. So Paul does this over and over and over again. And we read this, but let me just read it again, because Paul is actually a certain time in his life. He's gone from killing Christians to now becoming the greatest Christian that's ever lived. And he's traveling all throughout the Roman world, and he's on missionary journeys. He's telling everybody he can about Jesus, and there's churches being planted, and Paul is just doing this radical stuff for the Lord Jesus. And then it says he feels that God is prompting him to return back to Jerusalem, back to where he studied and grew up after the age of probably 15 or so. And he says, man, as I'm heading there, I know that God's calling. Okay, here you go. It says, Acts 20, 22, and 23. And now compelled by the Spirit, right? I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Only that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. Who's compelling him? God is. Who's warning him it's not going to be good? God is, right? However, verses 20, 24, right? However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Man, Jesus has just become everything. My only aim is to finish the race. He's an Olympian. And to complete the task for which the Lord has given me. The task of testifying the good news of Jesus, right? Man, my life is all about a race. And I'm just running this race. So I want you to just take notes for me this morning, because it's kind of cool. It's kind of that Olympic theme, right? Write this down. Note number one, if you want to take notes of me this morning, what's Paul's perspective on life? Paul saw his Christian life as a race, as a race. Isn't that interesting to think about? When you view your Christian life, what do you see it as? He sees his life for Jesus as a race. Isn't that cool? Have you been to a cemetery lately? They're not the best, most exciting places, but honestly, you can learn a lot in a cemetery. If you've ever seen a tombstone, I think I got one for you. Here's just a typical tombstone. See, all tombstones have basically three things. Do you know what they are? They have a birth date, and they have a death date. And in between is this thing called a dash. The dash is your life. Paul says your dash is a race. All of us in this room have a birth date, and all of us will have a death date. The dash, Paul says, is the race. You're running a race. And you're heading somewhere in your race. Where are we heading to, people? Eternity. We're eternity. And if you were here last week, I talked about in Paul's life, man, he had a radically awesome experience that transformed how he views his life in terms of suffering, which was last week, and today how he views life in general. Paul, at one point in his life, said that he talks about going up to heaven. Has anyone ever seen heaven in here? Paul has. And he writes about this in the third person. He says, man, a long time ago, there was this person. He's talking about himself. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. I just want to remind you again. Paul has a very unique perspective on life. This is what he says. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. In the Jewish mind, the first heavens is the clouds, the second heavens is the galaxies or the cosmos, and the third heaven is where God lives. This person says, I was taken up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know this, that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. Do you remember what Jesus told the thief on the cross? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Anybody want to go to paradise? Paul got to see heaven. And he says, when I was there, I heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. Most people believe this happened to Paul when he was stoned outside of a city called Lystra. You can read it in Acts chapter 14. They think he was stoned to death, and they drug him out of the city and left his corpse for dead. And if you read it, he just stands up. It was weird. What? And he walked back in the city. At this time, it's like, did he have a near-death experience, or did he really die? He says, even I don't know, but here's the point. I saw heaven. Paul is an amazing, articulate writer. And he says, what I saw is so amazing. There is zero words in the human vocabulary to describe what I saw. Does that sound awesome? Heaven is amazing. Whatever you think it is, it's a billion times greater than what you even comprehend. Heaven is amazing. Incredible. I want you to think of people who you know who've passed away. They are doing great. Don't cry for them. They are doing well. Does anyone want to go? Why did Jesus come? Right? Eternity. What are you living your dash for, people? What is the destination? Where are you going? How are you going to live the one and only life that God gave you? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You get one life. How will you live your life? $1 billion question. Do you know that what you do now echoes in eternity? It's true. Your dash is your life. Paul sees it as a race. I want you to take note number two with me. Write this one down. Paul says that we are to see our Christian life as a race. Not just he does, but we are too. You're supposed to see your life. You're a spiritual Olympian athlete. Did you know that? And you're running. You have a destination. You're living your dash, right? Paul says that we're to see our Christian life as a race. And it's so cool because he teaches this to this church in Corinth, which is in Greece, right? And he says these words. He says, do you not know, and this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Interesting. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Would that be weird if there was the gun goes off, and everybody runs, and some people are sitting there going, am I supposed to run? Would that be weird, people? Paul is saying, hey, guys, Don't you know in a race all the runners run? Translation, you're in a race, so do what? Run. That's good to know, right? We're all in a race. We're supposed to run. Paul says this. People, it's impossible to run a race if you don't know you're in one. That's good. Run your race. Follow Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games, they go into strict training. Can you guys guess what he's thinking about? Olympics. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And how long is forever? That's a long time. We're not getting a wreath put on our head 2,000 years ago. We're not getting a gold medal. He says we're getting eternity. We're living for an eternal prize. What are you running for? If you're a Christian and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today and you've accepted what he's done for you on the cross, and you've accepted his sacrifice that he gave you, he's washed away your sins, and now you're his. What are you running for? Why do we run? For what purpose? Are you running to get into heaven? Answer? Are you running to get into heaven? No. Yes or no? No. Okay, now I got you thinking, don't I? The answer is no. You're not running to get into heaven. Note number 3, Paul says that heaven is not a reward for running a good race, but a gift from God. Please understand this. You're not running in order to get into heaven. Paul says that in heaven, that heaven is not a reward for running a good race, but heaven, people, is a gift from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave you. It's called a gift. We're not running to get into heaven like every other religion does. We're running because we're already given heaven because of Jesus and his work on the cross. It's a gift. Heaven is not something you're running to get. Heaven is something you've been given by God. Okay, meditate on that. It's a gift. It's a gift. Okay, so what are we running for? Great question. So, Pastor Frank, if I'm not earning my way into heaven by being a good runner, but actually heaven has been given to me because of the work of Jesus on the cross, so I'm not working my way up to heaven, but God has worked his way down to me and his son Jesus. Wow, that's easy. You mean I just accept it? It's a gift. Here you go. You get it. It's yours. It's a gift. But it'll cost you everything, people. But it's a gift. Okay, so if heaven's a gift, then what am I running for? Good question. What are you running for? Write this one down. Perhaps a privileged place of service in eternity. Theologians think about this a lot. So there was a time when Peter had a really good fishing business on the Sea of Galilee. His home was beachfront property. If you've ever been to Capernaum, he had boats and he had a good business going. And one day, Jesus said, "Follow me." And Peter left his business and actually even left his lady for a time for 3 years because he was married. And he followed Jesus. And in the midst of these 3 years, he ended up asking Jesus, "Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. What's in this for us?" I guess you could say. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 27 and 28, Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" What's he asking? What's in heaven? Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And this hasn't happened yet. When Christ comes back and rules, he told Peter, "You and the 12 apostles, you're going to rule and reign with me for eternity." Okay. So clearly, what am I running for? Apparently, it could be, possibly, a privileged place of service in eternity. Is that trippy? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Or write this one down. This one's awesome. Second note, perhaps a capacity to manifest the glory of Christ throughout eternity. That is amazing. Perhaps the capacity to manifest the glory of Jesus throughout eternity. There's some scriptures in the Bible, and there's a lot of them, that speaks about those that are servants of God shining in a brightness, in a glory. Check this out. Daniel 12:3. It says, "Those who are wise," anyone? "Will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." There's a interesting. Jesus says this in Matthew 13:20 or 43. He says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. There's something about glory that has something to do with shining. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Jesus was transfigured and he began shining like the sun. Jesus says in his high priestly prayer before the night, right before he died in John 17, he says, "I want my glory back that I had with thee, Father, before the beginning of the world." There's something about glory and shining and brightness that's really cool. And apparently it's given to those who are faithful in eternity. Interesting. Perhaps a capacity to manifest the glory of God, some kind of a reward, a prize in heaven, a privileged place of service, a special capacity to glorify God. Interesting. It's just, but here's one we know for sure. Write this down. So what are you running your race for? It's the eternal reward. So what are they? How about this one? Praise from God. That one is awesome. Praise from God. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes." It's the second coming. "And he will bring light what is hidden in the darkness, and he will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God." Their praise from God. And he's kind of thinking about this almost like an Olympic podium. Can you imagine one day being in some kind of an Olympic podium and God the Creator starts talking about your life? And he starts giving you praise. "I saw you live your life and run your race. I saw you, man, loving my name. I saw you giving your time and your talents and your treasures, your wealth in my name. I saw you serving people in my name, giving of yourself in my name, obeying when it was hard because you loved me. I saw you forgiving people because I commanded you to, sharing my name to other people, and even when they persecuted you. Blessed, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when people persecute you on account of me. For great is your reward in heaven. Jesus sees. Imagine one day standing before God, and he is there giving you praise for how you lived your dash. I'm going to tell you right now, that will be the greatest day you've ever lived in your total existence of eternity. God looking at you and saying, I'm giving you praise, and all humanity's listening. How you lived your life, that's what you're running for, people. There's the prize. Dude, they're all competing in the Olympics right now. Do you know how stoked they are? That's a surfer term. When they are there and the flag and they're getting their medals, they're getting their praise. And this is just on an earthly scale. Okay, back then it was a wreath and now it's a gold medal. Man, can you imagine? We're living this race. Paul says, we are all in the Christian race and we're living. We're not running this race to get in there. You're running the race because of the rewards that are awaiting you. Well, what are they? Oh my gosh, there's so many wonderful thoughts on this theologically from the Bible. But whatever those things are, can you imagine standing on a podium and God giving you praise for how you lived your life? Anybody want that? Paul says, this is what I'm running my race for. I'm not running to hopefully get in heaven. No, man. I'm running because this is God's call in my life. I'm running with this higher purpose. It's called living out your life, man. It's so cool. Listen to Paul, man. Listen to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? Run your race. But only one gets the prize. People, you need to live with intentionality on this earth, right? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And by the way, that's a long time. Therefore, Paul says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Now he's switched to another metaphor of the Olympics. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I love that. Paul says, hey, I'm a runner just like you. He says, run the race. I run the race. Do you know what you're running your race in the dash right now? This thing, your body. Everybody do this. That's yours. This is the machine you're dwelling in to live your dash. Once this thing dies, you still live. But this is the machine, fearfully and wonderfully made, for you to live out your dash. Paul says, I buffet my body to run the race. I have to intentionally machine this thing to run well. Do you think Simone Biles eats a lot of donuts? Do you see her, man? Is there any fat on her body at all? I mean, amazing seeing what she's doing. I promise you this. She doesn't eat donuts. What would you rather do? Eat a donut or go to the gym? Anyone? Anyone? Which one should you do? Which one's better for you? The gym, people. Right? What would you rather do? Binge watch Netflix? Or read the Word of the Living God, which is eternal and lasts forever? Which one's better for you? This one. What's easier to do? Turn on the boob tube, right? Let's watch Netflix. I'm going to binge watch this next show. People, your machine, you live in this machine. Buffet your body. You should not be a slave to your machine, but your machine should be a slave to you on how you plan to live your life. All the Olympians right now have pounded their bodies into be committed athletes because they're competing for something. Paul says, I am beating my body into submission, so I will run this race well. Watching out for temptations, things in the body that are, man, I don't need to live my life for pleasure and entertainment. I don't want to be addicted to anything, Paul says, but I want my body to follow me, but me not to be a slave to my body. That's an interesting thing. So he says, I'm living this machine that I live in, I'm beating this into submission so I can live my race. People, don't be distracted. Don't live for the pleasures of your body. Live for something higher. Get away from physical temptations and addictions. There's a place in Rome that I'm very much looking at visiting. It's called the Mamertine Prison. I don't know if you can see it. There you go. It's off the beaten path. Has anyone been to this place? So nowadays it's in Rome, and it's kind of out of the beaten path. But when you go inside of it, and here's the picture number two. There's a prison, and this is where all the prisoners were held during the time of Paul and Peter. This is where they were held, waiting for their execution, and it's a dungeon. And if you go visit there now, you go down these stairs, and it's a dungeon. And if you look at it, you'll see that why the cross is upside down, because Peter said that I will not die the same way that my Savior did. And so when they were going to crucify Peter, and he says, you crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die the way my Savior did. And so Peter was hung upside down. Paul, being a citizen of Rome, was decapitated, so he had a more merciful death. And when you read ancient antiquity, it says that he prayed for the dude that was getting ready to lop his head off. He said, I forgive you. And then he laid his head down and they killed him. But this is where he hung out, maybe for the last week of his life, maybe for the last 2 weeks of his life. This is the dungeon or the prison. I'm looking forward to going here on the tour of Paul next year. If you want to go with me, we'll have an information meeting in a couple weeks. But we're going to go do a Footsteps of Paul tour. I'm very much looking forward to this place. Would you just leave that picture up? Because from this room, Paul says these words. 2 Timothy chapter 4. But just look at this. Don't put the scripture up. Imagine him sitting in a prison saying, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and my time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also all those who've longed for his appearing. Imagine him writing that in this prison. Does he sound afraid? He says, I'm crossing the finish line. I'm living out my life. I fought the good fight, man. I put on the armor of God. I fought against the forces of darkness in the heavenly places. I fought against my own temptations. I fought the good. Hey, the race is not, guys, the race is hard. I get it. you know, sometimes we run and it's the green pastures and the still water. Sometimes you run on the beach and you watch the sunset and you're like, ah, this is an easy race. But you start running through the valleys of the shadows of death, and I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Sometimes you fight in your race. He says, I kept the faith. Do you know what that means? All Paul had to do was deny Jesus and he would have lived. All Peter had to do was say, I deny Christ, and he would have lived. I kept the faith. They would not deny Christ and they died, as many, many believers did and do today as a martyr. I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I've kept the faith. My brother and my sister, learn from the Apostle Paul this morning. See through his eyes. Your life today is a race. Between the date of your birth date and your death date, you're living now and you're in the race. He says you are in the race now. And your race right now is unique to you. Paul says, run your race. This is his speaking to you today. And that's note number five. We're all called to run. And I want to put this down. Our race. Our race. Nobody can run the race for you. People, your race is unique to you. It's your race. Paul's race was unique to Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. His race of following Jesus, he ends up writing half. It was his unique race that he ran. You have a unique race to run, and it's yours. My race is mine. Your race is yours. And they're all different. For example, this is a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. Do you guys, I don't know if you knew her. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. She was a Christian living in Holland during World War II and the Nazis. And her race was, I can't let Jewish people be killed. And she hid them. As a Christian, her and her sister hid Jews until they got discovered. And then they were thrown in concentration camps as well. Her sister died in a concentration camp. She was let out from some clerical error. She's an amazing woman who had to run her race. It was hers at her time. Have you ever heard of a guy named Nick Vujicic? This guy is an amazing brother in Jesus. Born with no arms, no limbs. Here's another picture of his family. He has an amazing race. And if you listen to him speak, he'll tell you about his journey with Jesus. It's his race. It's not yours. Every one of you has a very special race, and it's your race. And I've been thinking about this in my life. Man, when I first met Jesus in my early 20s, I had to learn to run my race as a college student and to follow Jesus as a college student. And I had to learn to deal with my addictions and my drug issues and alcohol. I had to run my race, and I had to keep running my race all through college. Unique. It was mine. Finding my lady and you know, living, because I didn't expect to be a pastor. It was just this whole thing. It's just my race, and it just evolved, and I'm still in my race. As of now, I'm running the race of trying to figure out how to be a good son to a 97-year-old dad who I love dearly, who I'm taking care of, and God's teaching me lots of patience. I'm in the race. It's mine, and I'm running it. The only person that can run my race is me. The only person that can run your race is you. Run your race. It's yours today. I think of the high schoolers. They came back from camp. You guys look at their life, they have so many, I keep telling them, man, you guys have so much of your life left to live, so many journeys and experiences and adventures, so much to learn and grow and see as you run your race in the different seasons of life. As a pastor, I hear all the time, Pastor Frank, such and such just got cancer, or such and such just had, now it's your turn to run your race with this. How will you run it? Or how about with this, and how will you run it? Pastor Frank, it's yours. You're not done, and you're still in your race. Are you still breathing? Check. Are you still breathing? Then you're in the race. So run it. You're not done. Last picture. I'm everyone. Birth date, death date, your life is the dash. Okay? You're still living your dash. It's one step at a time. The race is one step at a time of obedience. The next step of obedience. I'm running with Jesus. I'm running my race. What does Jesus want you to do today in your race? Run your race. As a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as a college student, as a high school student, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as a cop, as an accountant. Run your race. It's yours. It's yours. Run to win. What will your legacy be? Because someday you will cross the finish line, I promise you. You will. Live for that day. This is what Paul says. So after today, we say goodbye to the Apostle Paul. This has been our series on the life of Paul, his journey of meeting, knowing, and following Jesus, and how he just views and sees life. What an amazing human being. The Apostle Paul speaks into your life today. God is speaking through him into your life today. Paul is saying, man, your life is a race. Run it. Run it. And run it well, because there's a destination that all of us are heading to. And someday, God's going to talk about your life. He's going to hit rewind, and the whole thing's going to be played. And he's going to give you praise for how you lived your life. And that will be your greatest day you've ever lived. Father, I pray for my brothers and I pray for my sisters. Jesus, would you please speak into us this morning? God, help us to see a bigger perspective on this thing. I pray, Lord God, that you would just encourage us today, that you would speak into us today. Lord, for those of us that are running in tough times, God, just encourage us today to keep going, keep running. We press on toward the high calling of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, for those of us that are running by green pastures and still waters, may they smile and just say, God is good. Lord, thank you that you're the God of all seasons and in all generations, in every stage of life, you are God. And we honor you today. We pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would just lead us today. Teach us how to run this race. We pray for your glory and in your name. And all those who love Jesus would say,